Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands on 2-1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Joe, good morning. Quiet day yesterday.
Yeah, hey, what the hell was going on, man? Why couldn't it happen during my show? It happens right after yesterday, and I was, what I was at, and you know, I don't stay on the phone all day. I had it in my pocket, and I felt a couple of texts coming. You know, you feel that little buzz when you get that text. And
I felt the same thing yesterday.
So I was just walking around, but I wasn't really. I was kind of focused on, I had the old music in, and I was walking Vista View, and you know, I'm on this thing. I got to stay active. I'm tired, but I got to stay active. So I was over good old Vista View. I don't know, 15 or 20 of my favorite people all over there and running around different parts of the park. And then something made me look down. And my friend Orly from Amaranth Bank was the first one I saw. And I went, holy smokes. And then it was a floodgate of, and by the way, this is before all the information had come in, and then it was just the calls were coming in from Pittsburgh, and the calls were coming in from here, and all over without getting into everybody that sent them. And by the way, that's the cool part of the job. I mean, that's the part. It's not like, oh, gosh. I love it, man. That's it. So there's a whole bunch of different parts to this because some loved it, some didn't like it. And so you kind of listened to everybody yesterday and until I went to bed last night, even some of my favorite sponsors. So were texting me to let me know how they felt about this. So you kind of sit back. You never, let's start with this. You're not going to be able to replace Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, how good they are. Let's just start with that. I'm not a huge Jalen Ramsey fan as a person. But as a football player, we can talk, and most people agree he's starting on the downside of his career a little bit. Still good, don't get me wrong. And I love when somebody goes, well, he's not top five. Okay, that's great. He's not top five. You got to do better than that. With all the guys that play cornerback, like three guys at corner start every week in a nickel package because nickelbacks are cornerbacks. So I love that. So you can go 3 times 32, and he's not top five. You can go, okay, that's still top 5 or 10%. Calm down there, Charlie Brown. But anyway, And then Jonnu Smith is we're not, and I heard the names yesterday of guys we're trying to get or who could be out there, Kyle Pitts and Mike O'Mayer who's had some issues without getting deep into his stuff. Missed six or seven games last year. Came back, actually, for the Dolphins game last year, who was a good player before they drafted a guy in the first round that just was unbelievable in his rookie year. So there's some guys out there. You're going to have to give up something but to get them. And Kyle Pitts has been almost a bust, just a little better than a bust because he has played. But the guy was the first pick. Gator fans remember the guy. He was your tight end / wide receiver, whatever he was. He's really good in college. First pick, fourth overall. And we wanted him, kind of. I mean, we were all like, oh, we need a guy like that. We need a guy like that. You can't cover him. You can't cover him inside. You can't cover him outside. So you remember all that stuff. And then you just sit back and at Jonnu Smith, and you watch some of his highlights and catching and run after catch and winning touchdown. He was really good last year. We didn't use him much in the first half of the season, but he's always been a really good receiver. He had 50 catches a year before in Atlanta. And as a pass-receiving tight end, you could talk about what we have on the team right now and what you're going to get. You're not going to get a Jonnu Smith. You're just not. He can run super fast. Really, for a big guy, really moves well for a guy 6'3", 250 pounds. So you lose those guys. But the other part of this is, so Jalen Ramsey, I was thinking like most of you, if you sit back on, all right, what are we going to get for this guy? We're going to have to put in some money, and we did. I think we put in $3 million on the deal to get rid of Jalen Ramsey, which I'm guessing the team was excited that it wasn't more because they're getting rid of him no matter what. And so you look at that part of the deal, but nobody thought you're going to get Minka Fitzpatrick back, who's a really good player, still a really good player. And some said he has not played his best football. Some said it was the way he was used. You know, whoever you talked to in Pittsburgh last night, talked to some of my guys and up there. But Minka Fitzpatrick's still a good player. And, of course, the crazy part about this, as you know, in 2018, he was our first-round pick. And in year two, he had a great rookie year. Remember how good he was in the slot? We had him covering guys in the slot. Hell, he graded out as one of the best slot corners. He was really good. Second year, you changed the way he played, and he wanted friggin' out. Out. Chris Greer did love him, by the way, for all the stuff Omar and Chris Greer did. That was Chris Greer's pick. Chris Greer went all in on him. One of the few times I think Chris Greer, I had to somewhat get a shot in on him, was really in and wasn't going to take no for an answer because he knew how good this guy was, and he was, and has been. Minka Fitzpatrick, and the Steelers got a couple unbelievable years. I think he ended up with, well, I didn't look, but what, 20 interceptions or so with them. So you get a guy that we need with these young guys he's playing next to and below him in the secondary, in the cornerback and nickel positions to get guys lined up so he comes back. It's just weird that we had him. He didn't want to be here. He goes to Pittsburgh. We get the first-round pick for him, and remember that, and we were trying to talk him into staying, and he checked out because the way Brian Flores was using him. He didn't want to play that style. That wasn't best for him. And we were like, wow, I didn't think Minka Fitzpatrick, the nice guy from Alabama, what happened in year two? It was crazy. So now he comes back without Brian Flores here. And obviously, they'll use him. Coach Weaver will use him the best way possible. He played a lot of center field last year. And, you know, again, I think he's had one interception the last 2 years. But listen, he's done a lot of good things. Don't get me wrong. And so it's a crazy one. So we upgrade the safety position, and we lose two players minus all the stuff that Jalen Ramsey doesn't want to do. You know, I heard him called an independent contractor, and I thought that's it. Just let me do my job. I've been saying that. He just wants to come in, do his job. Please leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I'll tell you what I want to do. If you don't let me do it, I'm going to show a little attitude, but I'll do whatever. And by the way, you know who wins? You know who the big winner was? Yesterday in this deal. We have a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. The crazy part about yesterday, the big winner, is Jalen Ramsey. Woody, he got a raise on top of everything. Excuse me. The Steelers threw in some more money, gave him like $1.5 million more dollars.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing they gave him more money.
I'm just cracking up.
I think the Dolphins were the big winners of this trade, to be quite honest.
I don't know if there's a big winner, Woody. Calm down. I
think they won this trade, man.
Calm down on the big one.
No, I really think they do, and the reason being is essentially you just traded Jonnu Smith straight up for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
That's true.
Right? Because Jalen Ramsey was going to be the late round pick swap or pick or whatever, right?
Which you got the fifth round pick for.
Okay, great. That was essentially probably what he
Good
was
point.
Worth, right?
I'm listening, and I...
So you got a guy in Jonnu Smith who...
Why does this happen every morning at this time?
I don't know. You got a guy in Jonnu Smith who you didn't want to pay.
Yeah.
Who, let's be realistic here, man. I don't know that he was going to be as big of a focus in the game plan this year. You really hope...
Maybe not.
You hope that Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, or especially Tyreek, are able to get back to what they were. And to me, it seems like you essentially traded Jonnu Smith for Minkah Fitzpatrick straight up almost, and a guy you didn't want to pay. I don't know. I love it, man. I think they did really well.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm with you. I just think the whole crazy part is we had this guy, now we trade back for him. This stuff doesn't happen.
No, I know it's weird, but
Minkah
Fitzpatrick, when you get over the dysfunction of the franchise, they did pretty well here.
No, I agree. By the way, I don't disagree, but let me just tell you, at the end of the day, I got to get this out there before we get into it, because, Woody, you bring up some great points.
Essentially, they could have panicked and traded Jalen Ramsey right away, right, and gotten their fifth or sixth round pick or whatever, and then he would have been done. And then let's say now you decide, okay, we don't want to pay Jonnu Smith. He would have been worth, essentially, what, a fifth round pick? To some other team?
I don't know. Let's just get to Jonnu Smith. So they've been interested in him because they knew we weren't going to pay. And when they realized, and good for Jonnu, he picked up another $8 million to get his $12 million. So instead of making four, he's going to triple his money, and he's happy and all that. And I know he wanted to be here. I'm with you. Jalen Ramsey, we've been talking for months. We're going to give him away. And the question was, how much money were we going to have to throw into the deal? The answer was $3 million. But we got somebody good back. So Dolphin fans, but I do want to start with this. We get past the attitude and what you've heard and the money and, you know, not a great team guy, whatever you want to say. Jalen Ramsey's on his fourth team, and he is what he is, and he's not changing. I think he'll be good because he's going – the Steelers defense could be very good. By the way, we're going to find out. Because December 15th on a Monday night football game in Pittsburgh, we're going to be playing against at Pittsburgh. And on top of that, it's going to be in cold weather. So all those narratives that we throw out, we'll have a chance to see some of them against some of our former players that will be most likely playing in that game, on top of everything else that we're going to be talking about this morning with all this stuff. Woody, you bring up some good points.
I think Pittsburgh made a massive mistake here, Joe.
I don't know about massive.
I really do, because look, they could have had Jalen Ramsey for nothing, right? And then why not just wait the Dolphins out on the other guy?
You got to help me out. They could have had Jalen Ramsey for nothing.
Well, you could have given the pick, right? You could have given, let's say, a fourth or fifth round pick for Jalen Ramsey, right? That's probably would have been.
Probably had to put in more money.
Yeah, but that would have been his price, right? If you were doing a straight up trade,
you probably would have had to throw more money in there.
Okay, money and a pick, right?
And I'm not sure the guys over the top of Chris Greer wanted to throw in any more than what they threw in there, the $3 million.
Okay, and then let's say you wanted Jonnu Smith. What do you think his asking price would have been? And that, let's separate the two guys right now, and if you had to trade them separately, what is Jonnu Smith worth?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
So again, you got a player. I don't agree. The Dolphins got a great player back.
Woody, can I just say something going back?
I think to swap Ramsey for Minkah Fitzpatrick is insane.
Okay, no. It's got some good stuff. It's got some good stuff. So the only thing is you have, and I'm going to say it again, and if you can work past it, but nobody likes to lose good players, even Jalen Ramsey's of the world. There's going to be guys that are going to join your team that – I don't want to say turds, but they do things and they are not really worried about everybody around them. They only think of themselves in a team sport, which, you know, is not always good for business. But Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith were really good players. And we got to replace them. We've somehow got to come close to replace them either through scheme or development of guys on our staff. There's nobody, by the way, that comes close to Jonnu Smith on this team. That's why the word is they're out trying to trade and get a pass receiving, more of a pass receiving tight end. And it's nothing against Hill. It's nothing against any of the other guys on the team. Connor, who's going into his fourth year, that's real athletic. I don't know what you want to put into that. You know, he's talked about all the things he's changed, his body and his mind, and he's matured and he's ready to go in year four. And I'm thinking, man, you have gotten the longest scholarship I have ever seen in the history of a Miami Dolphin football player. Three, going into his fourth year, and we haven't seen much of him. But he's athletic. He's out of Idaho State. He's a very good athlete and all that stuff. I think they'd like to bring in another corner, and they'd like to get a tight end in here, and they can do it. But if you just look at the deal, I agree with you. I agree with you. The fact that the Minka Fitzpatrick coming back is good stuff. It's good stuff and helps you. Somebody's got to organize all those guys. I talked about mental mistakes, and, you know, it's hard enough to play. And when you know what you're doing going one-on-one, it's another one when you're throwing mental mistakes. And two guys go with one guy, and one guy goes with nobody, and the guy's wide open. And it's easy throwing, catching, touchdown, and you don't want those around.
Holy hell, do we have a lot to get to, Crowder. Holy hell. The Miami Dolphins have a new tight end. Here we go. Try to keep track if you're at home. Try to keep track of all this. The Miami Dolphins have a new tight end. Mm-hmm. The Milwaukee Bucks have gone absolutely insane to try to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo happy. And for a short, brief moment, Giannis wasn't happy. And then we found out he was kind of behind the move that they made to go get Miles Turner. But here's what we know. Damian Lillard is a free agent, and according to multiple reports, the Miami Heat will be and are interested in a Damian Lillard pursuit.
Yes.
Potentially Giannis is unhappy in Milwaukee. I'm still not sure. For the first time in my life, Channing Crowder, I am jealous of the Atlanta Hawks. Sounds weird.
They got a little squad now.
Yeah, they kind of do. If you thought Bill Zito was done after pulling off what Josh Appel put as fantasy land stuff yesterday, guess again, mother bleeper. You were wrong. Zito's back at it today. And Terry Rozier is no longer under FBI investigation. I don't know. That's cool, I guess. Good for him.
Maybe it might put some pressure on his three-pointers. I don't know. Talk about the other stuff.
Crowder, you see Darren Waller coming out of retirement, joining the Miami Dolphins, and you immediately, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? What does Channing Crowder first think when he sees that notification come to his phone?
It was actually excitement because I know Darren, and he is a stupid athlete, and he is gigantic. He's one of, like, physically, he's one of the most physical, what's called Adonises in the NFL. If you're ever next to him, he is stupid, big, strong, and fast. But I've always said it, I'll never come off this point. Once you retire, how dedicated are you to playing football? Because I've seen guys retire, come back, and all that stuff. That's my question with D-Wall. Are you really dedicated to playing football, or are you just, let me see. Somebody offer me a contract. I'm going to see what this football thing is.
Yeah, it's funny. I probably should have thought about it before, but how many examples are there of NFL players who retire, take a year off, and then return following that year off and have Pro Bowl caliber seasons? I don't know. I mean, I genuinely don't know. I would imagine there aren't many guys.
Solana, I didn't want to retire. I was not going to retire. We've heard the story. You cliff notes. The Dolphins cut me. I had guaranteed money. I'm like, I'm getting paid anyway this year. Let me just chill for a year and then I'll jump in next year. And when I felt retirement, I woke up on a Wednesday morning and didn't have to have a coach yelling at me about stopping a power or if the split is inside the hash 2 yards, now, you know, they're running the in route. If he's out, and I didn't have to really, like, the monkey off my back mentally and physically, that's when I was like, yeah, man, the hell. I told AJ, like, the hell with this football, man. I feel great right now. Did he retire because of his situation and because, you know, and he's talked about the mental health stuff and all the stuff he's been through. Because he was like a drug addict, flat out. Like, we had him on the pivot. Like, he was a flat-out drug addict for a while.
Yeah. That episode was crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, so, like, his stories, if you now you get to know Darren Waller deeper, so go read the story. The story's wild. But did he take a year off to relax and recalibrate, or did he take the crowd a year off where you look at not playing football and you're sitting on millions and saying, man, the hell with this football stuff, man. I don't need to go in here and be stressed out no more. So that's what I would like to see. But Darren Waller at his best, Darren Waller is a all-pro tight end. So that's what I think the Dolphins, I think Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, believe they're getting the all-pro 4'4", 6'6" running Darren Waller. And if we get him, it's going to be special in the middle.
Leroy Horde has texted me, John Riggins, who for somehow I know who that is. I think he played for Washington for several years. I don't recall him retiring and then coming back and having a great season. I'd have to look it up, but I'll take Leroy's word for it. But this dude I remember played in like the 80s, mid-80s, maybe late 80s, and he played for Washington. But yeah, like, okay, John Riggins. If Leroy texts me John Riggins, that tells you there isn't like a long laundry list of dudes who retire in their mid-30s, early 30s, 32 years old, Darren Waller, and come back better than their season prior to retirement. I'm not saying it can't happen, bro. This dude, no. Crowder, absolute, like, insane seasons. I was reading in the Herald, 1,145 yards and then 1,146 yards in 2019 and 2020. I mean, that's, like, if you can get, I don't know, 65% of that next year, if you're the Dolphins, I mean, that would be insane. The problem is that happened in 2019 and 2020. You know, like, that's a long time ago, man. A long time ago.
No, Solana, I'm telling you, physically, he is an all-pro. Physically, he's a Hall of Famer. But then, you know, the transitions and different things went on his life, and I honestly want to encourage listeners to go look into Darren Waller and read his story because it's so interesting. But if we get Darren Waller at his best mentally and physically, you literally have one of the best tight ends in the league. And I'm hoping, and I honestly trust, I thought about this too. You asked me what I thought about. I trust Chris Greer, know Chris Greer well enough, I would say, that he asked these same questions. He put in the legwork, asked these questions, figured out why he wanted to play football again, reached out, talked to agents, talked to him. And see, he has a rap career now. He, you know, you go listen to his rap and all, like,
nah, I probably won't.
Okay, so I follow D-Wall. It's a buddy of mine. I don't know, and I'm not going to call and text and ask him, hey, do you really want to play football? Because, yes, he wants to play football because he's playing. But that's the question fans should be asking. Is he all in, and is he really want to go be the best tight end in the league? Because physically, honestly to God, physically he can go be the best tight end in the league. He can, even at this age, Solana. You bring up, you know, he is an older dude. If he wants to go be the best tight end in the league, I think he can physically.
In his most recent season, so 2023, he only played 11. He started 11 games, and then he played 12 total. 52 catches for 552 yards and a touchdown. I'll tell you what, even that right there, that's better than Julian Hill's going to give you. So I'm not opposed to this move, Crowder. Look, I don't know exactly, you know, what you're going to get from Darren Waller. Bro, Chris Greer is not afraid of signing a veteran who either has a questionable past or is dealing with some injury concerns or is just flat out quote-unquote old for NFL years. Like, Calais Campbell's a perfect example a season ago. I didn't watch Calais Campbell in Atlanta last offseason. Around this time, I see the Miami Dolphins have signed Calais Campbell. I look at his age, 37 years old, and immediately I say, the hell is Calais Campbell going to do at 37 years old? You know, he's going to be a third down defensive tackle. Great. You know, awesome. And guess what? Ended up being perhaps the MVP of the team last year. So I'm not saying this can't work, But it's a huge question mark. You would agree, right, Crowder? Like, this will be a huge question mark going into next year. What the hell is Darren Waller going to give you coming out of retirement at 32?
3 years ago, at 29, which is not a puppy, everybody would be jacked up and excited.
Oh, for sure. Damn. For sure, yeah.
We're getting a 6'6" dude that runs a 440 and the track meet type thing. Like, Darren Waller's here. Even before Jonnu, Darren Waller's here. People would be excited. Now, you add the retirement, like yesterday. Hawk always does the what is it, the this in a vacuum. Okay, a 31-year-old tight end that already retired and the Dolphins pulled him out of retirement. In a vacuum, it's a question mark. One of the most physically talented tight ends in the league that might have took off, and he got a divorce, him and what, Kelsey Plum?
Yeah.
Like, let's put some context behind it. Now you need to step away and get your mentals right, and now you're going to come back and still be the same physical beast you are. I am very excited. That what I would say. My quote, like, if all we're right. doing, what was it with the little fat black dude and the bald head white man? The ESPN show.
Oh, First Take?
No.
PTI, Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser.
When Mike Wilbon and Kornheiser...
I want to be Mike Wilbon in this, though. Can I be Mike Wilbon in this?
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, you be TK. I'll be Wilbon.
You know how they do the Darren Waller signs with the Dolphins, blank, whatever?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is extremely exciting for me.
Okay.
It's extremely exciting.
That works for my YouTube post a little bit later in our podcast, so I'll take that.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Why does your breaking news sounder sound like middle school television news that goes closed circuit? Like, just within, just from morning announcements.
You don't like this? Today, pizza in the cafeteria.
That's exactly what I feel. That's like, that's giving me exactly like my first TV production class. That felt like the intro music that we had.
ice cream day.
Oh, man. Breaking news from Adam Schefter, Ian Rapoport, and Jalen Ramsey, who's confirmed it.
Nah.
Even though Jalen Ramsey, here's the thing with Jalen Ramsey. He claims that I guess he's saying that he broke his own news. So I guess I'll give him credit first. I don't know. I got to see timestamp who was first. Hold on.
Is he trying to beat the reporters?
He's saying that he's trying to beat the reporters. Yeah. It seems like he did. I got 36 on Rapoport and Schefter. So looks like Jalen Ramsey gets the credit. Jalen Ramsey has been traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
Yep.
Ooh.
Jalen Ramsey has been traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And according to Adam Schefter, he also is getting a raise.
Wow.
This guy's got the greatest.
I'll tell you what.
This guy's got the greatest agent of all time.
Can I just say this? In all the years that I've known Pittsburgh, and that was my arch nemesis when I was in Cleveland, this is outside of their character.
They're going all in.
Right. What they've done the last couple of months is outside their character. And I got to tell you, I mean, it kind of falls in line with what everybody else is doing. And maybe they've come to the realization that, you know, the way we were doing it was a little old and we need to step up to the current, you know, to present day football.
Well, especially in that division. I mean, the Ravens, it feels like it's been their division with a little slice of Bengals. Like, they always kind of they feel like they're not embarrassing themselves, but they don't really – nobody ever really thinks they have a chance.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Adam Schefter, ESPN sources of the Miami Dolphins have agreed to trade three-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Steelers. As part of the trade, Ramsey will get a $1.5 million raise this season, bringing his compensation up to $26.6 million. I'm still waiting on details on if the Dolphins got anything back, what the deal is. Jalen Ramsey tweeted out a video of himself running drills backwards up a hill.
So let me ask you this.
Sick of this guy.
Do you really have to trade anything or get anything in return when you get $25 million a room?
If you mean if they just took the money,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not expecting much. If anything, I'm expecting like a conditional.
It's almost
fifth.
Like any team that would have traded for Jalen Ramsey would be doing the Dolphins a favor.
Yeah,
which is I'm odd not to say.
I'm definitely not
because he's a good player.
Yeah, I'm not expecting much. I'm like a fifth round pick is the most I would think they would get for him, if anything.
If that.
You
but
know?
I'm saying, does the 20? Do you care about the fifth round pick when that $25 million is out of your off your ledger?
I don't know. Barry Jackson has gotten any. Let's see. Barry Jackson, Dolphins trade disgruntled former All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Steelers on Monday, parting ways with one of the most accomplished players just 9 months after giving a lucrative contract extension. The parties involved were not saying what Miami would receive in return.
Which is weird because the trade has to go to the front office and the compensation will be included in that trade. So whether they disclose it or not, it's out there.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, we knew based on the tone of Mike McDaniel, who's not one who's short on words, anytime the name Jalen Ramsey was mentioned, it was very... You know, I've said what I've said. I'm blah, 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 blah. Like, he had nothing to say about Jalen Ramsey. You know, the frostiness that had gotten there was certainly noticeable. So
I would say this, that to me, and I'm not saying this happened, that sounds like a situation that happened out in the open. And now the team and the organization had to do something.
Right. So you're saying like
it didn't. It wasn't a situation
like a meeting.
Say if I come,
you're saying like a
I
meeting come, call out. I, you think?
Yeah.
It would say. I'll give you the equivalent. Say if I have a problem with Marcos and he does something that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
I wouldn't wait until break, and then go in the studio and then talk to him. I would do it over the air. To where
Yeah.
And everybody's put in a position where somebody has to do something.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of how this looked like it played out to me, because I've known players to have arguments with coaches, but out of respect, it usually happens behind closed doors and they hash it out. If it happens in open, now the organization and the head coach have to make a decision, because how is that going to affect the young players and the other guys on the team who think that they could do that too?
Yeah, and especially like if you're in this position where Mike McDaniel knows that he's on the hot seat, which I think he knows that he is, and you're trying to change the culture or get out like whatever special treatment was there, the tardiness.
That's hanging over you.
It's hanging over you. So like whatever happened between him and Jalen Ramsey that, yes, seems like it was personal and that he's not dealing with whatever angle Mike was trying to snuff it out. You know, maybe it was a public call out that he didn't like in a meeting. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Because let's be clear, right? I've seen firsthand players and coaches go at it. It's nothing new. Okay. But what happens is you squash it and you move on because that's your family. If you were to do the same things in a public arena, right? Now you can't squash it because it's there and you got to deal with it. And so it's kind of like when you see a player and a coach go at it on the sidelines, and usually when they ask about it, usually the player and the coach right away will say, no, there's no big deal. It's game time. We just blah, 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 blah. If that doesn't happen, it always plays out like this, right? Where the coach and the player can't repair it, right? So it's not only, especially in the locker room, we all understand and appreciate the phrase heat in a moment, right?
Right.
When you're a player, you put all this stuff into it. When you're a coach, you put all this stuff in it. When it's not going to plan, right, sometimes people get heated, go at it with players or whatever. It's nothing new, okay? But where you have it and how you deal with it afterwards, that's the part of it that causes the issues. And so even if Jalen Ramsey and Mike McDaniel had a drag out, cuss back and forth at practice, right? Usually the two will get together, then you like in a team meeting, you squash it. Like, look, I went over the line, shouldn't have went that far. I should have had a private conversation with him. This is over. Don't worry about it. Let's just keep doing our work.
Yeah.
Right? And I get squashed. And it never seemed throughout this whole situation, it never seemed like that happened.
Yeah, and the thing that I just find interesting about it, and yeah, you never know what happens behind the scenes. And I know that I know Jalen Ramsey's a very sensitive guy, you know, and is not exactly not had run-ins with coaches before. But I just, you know, my first image of Jalen Ramsey being with the Dolphins was all being Mike McDaniel pouring the praise on this. I mean, probably as much as anybody, maybe other than Tua. Right next, remember, he has the knee injury right as camp starts, and he's basically right next to him at every practice. You know, like, you know, he's making an impact. And, you know, obviously there was some unhappiness with that secondary with Fangio the first year, and whatever led into the second year with having a new coach and Anthony Weaver, because they parted ways with him. You know, yeah, obviously there were struggles last year, but I'm sure we're going to find out. I imagine someone's going to leak like what the details are of getting to, and I'm sure we're going to find out.
I don't necessarily know that you will, because the only way you're going to find out is if both parties just say what happened. And when people tell stories, they always tell the story slanted to their side. I don't think Mike McDaniel will ever say anything.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Is this real?
What?
Not real.
Oh, whoa.
The Dolphins.
Uh-oh.
In return for Jalen Ramsey.
Uh-oh.
Are getting back Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Whoa!
According to Adam Schefter, ESPN sources, the Steelers traded three-time All-Pro safety Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins in exchange for three-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey. The rare player-for-player trade.
Player-for-player. Hold on, say it again.
Can I just say, hold up.
Minkah Fitzpatrick's back with the Dolphins.
Are you bleeping kidding me?
Wow.
Whoa.
Stinker Fitzpatrick.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bygones be bygones.
Now bygones, huh?
Wow.
Say it to his face. Nah, this is crazy.
Wow.
I had to make sure I wasn't schnarfnerd. Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Player for player doesn't really happen a lot, so that's crazy.
Wow.
But wait, hold on. Say that again.
Okay.
Adam Schefter, ESPN sources, Steelers trade three-time All-Pro safety. It's not dude, I clicked on it. 11.5 million followers, blue check mark.
Wow.
It's him.
Okay.
Steelers traded three-time All-Pro safety Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins in exchange for three-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey. The rare player-for-player trade and another trade. Wow.
That's great because I'm seeing like Steelers fans tweet out like, our secondary is crazy now.
Well, man. Armando just, because it was funny, I retweeted Armando Salguero who just tweeted before this.
Yeah.
The Dolphins have now traded three-time first-team All-Pros to the Steelers secondary, Minkah Fitzpatrick and Jalen Ramsey. Both had disagreements with their head coaches, and minutes later, the Dolphins are getting back Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Wow.
I did the unretweet, by the way, because I don't want those in my mentions.
Oh,
you know what's crazy about this?
Great.
In sports, okay, like, and let's go to hockey where the Bruins said they wouldn't be against bringing Marchand back. Right? This is crazy.
Yeah.
How often does it happen? Like, it might happen at the end of your career when, like, in basketball, you might go back and fill a role out on the bench. But you ain't in your prime.
But his beef was with Flores. It wasn't like a Dolphins thing. Like, Chris Greer drafted him.
Wow. You think him and Tua are going to be like, hey.
You think they need to have a conversation before they complete the deal?
I don't know.
With Minkah?
I don't know.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Nah, I just think they're like, well, sorry, Minkah. Got to get Jalen.
Yeah, but that's why you got really Jalen.
Well, they had to pay Jalen. I mean, like, if it's a player for player, it seems like it was just money for money, because I imagine Minkah Fitzpatrick makes a lot of money, too.
They were not far from one another.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that you would have had to have a conversation with Minkah Fitzpatrick simply because he would have been the same as having Jalen Ramsey back. If the reason why he got traded was because of...
Yeah, but his beef, remember, like, he got traded the tank season, and it was apparently a beef with the head coach. It was a similar situation. So if he's getting a fresh start with a new coaching staff, Anthony Weaver as the defensive coordinator, like, I'm sure there is a conversation. Like, I guess you'd say
Anthony
like this.
Anthony Weaver will have him doing so many different things. You guys are going to really be impressed with that, because that's usually in his defense. He has one or two DBs that he does a lot of stuff with.
Wow.
So I got to tell you.
And has been pointed out, Monday Night Football, Week 15 in Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Wow.
This is good.
Man, I'm still, this is.
Schmeathan says, Tobin, go to break. You have a lot of tweets to delete. A lot of self-sanctioning, a lot of stinker quits. I gotta delete a lot of stinker quits Patrick tweets.
Just reading here some details about the Duncan Robinson situation, Crowder. I want to get back into Darren Waller. I want to ask you about what Lewis Riddick said regarding the Miami Dolphins. because it was, you know, pretty straightforward statement. Like, what the hell are the Dolphins doing? Like,
it's damning.
That's what he's asking.
Yeah. 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 It's very damning. It's, and I can't, you know, the way he said it was like, what's going on? What's this? What's that? We have a lot of good talent, but their past moves aren't matching their current moves. You see McDaniel changing kind of his approach. You see them changing their approach with drafting lineman after lineman in the first three rounds, or the first three picks, sorry. It can be puzzling to what are you going to be next year, because I got sold a track meet for a number of years, and yeah. I don't think the track meet's working anymore.
Which is what my take on it is. Cuneo said, hey, I don't think it's a lack of direction. I think it's a lack of identity, and he's not wrong. But I think the Dolphins have an identity. They just don't want to admit that their identity is what their identity has been for the past couple of years, which is why you have the Bradley Chubbs of the world, and you have, you know, Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel talking about culture change, because they're genuinely, I believe that they're genuinely, all of them have had a come to moment, and they're saying, we have to be different. Like, we have to, because status quo has gotten us nowhere. But Crowder, I don't think they can be different. I think your personnel is your personnel. And I think who they are and who Mike McDaniel is as a coach, that's who they are. They're a soft team. What? How did you put it yesterday?
Graceful. Don't say soft.
Yeah, you said they're a graceful team. Because Omar tweeted out, he quoted you. He's like, that's the nicest way I've ever heard anybody call a team soft. and you're right. Like, I don't think they're soft. I don't think they're a bunch of clowns. Like, but that's just who they are. They're graceful. And I don't think talking about being tougher makes you tougher. So I think they do have an identity. And it's not the identity we want them to have. I don't think it's the identity they want to have either.
No, and Solana, when they say soft, and if people always say like, oh, you're calling the dudes, you know, you're
right,
calling
them
soft.
Right.
I'm not saying personally.
Right.
I'm not saying that Zach Sealer's a soft dude. I don't think he's that. I don't think Jalen Phillips is a soft guy. I don't think, you know, like, I'm not calling those individual players softies where they're going to go get beat up. And if somebody slaps them at the bar, they're going to look at the ground and walk to the bathroom. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the approach to football that they have is not an aggressive physical approach. Yeah. That's why I said graceful, not soft, because soft is taken in a certain way. When I played, you started practice in 9-on-7. 9-on-7 is 9 offensive players, 7 defensive players. They can't throw the ball. They're running the ball every time. You know a run's coming. I know the run's coming. We'll go straight. This is with Nick Saban and Dom Capers and Bill Parcells when Tony Sperano came in. The next period is team run. There's no passing. You are about to go be a grown-ass man and try to choke out another grown-ass man that's trying to choke you out. Like, that was the approach to football back then. I remember the plays, base under O cover 4, Sam Mike Blast. You're not going to run the ball on us. There's no way you're running the ball on those two defenses. If you want to try, good luck. They don't have their mental approach as a team, not individual players. I'm not calling individual players soft. Their approach as a team is not an aggressive approach. It's a very graceful, let me do a bunch of motioning and shifting on offense, because I can get you out of position and trick you into somebody being wide open, where you see the defending Super Bowl champions, they line up, they run straight at you, they have 5 Pro Bowl linemen, and they have the best running back in the game, and they whoop your ass for 60 minutes. Different approaches to games.
The best teams in the NFL are multidimensional. So, and I know it's unfair to hold the Dolphins right now to the Philadelphia Eagles or the champions, and that was one of the most impressive Super Bowl performances I've ever seen from a team. But like, the Eagles throughout the season last year, Crowder, they could beat you up. They could play that physical nature, right? That physical game. They could beat you up on the offensive and the defensive line. But they could also be talented at their skill positions. Jalen Hurts can run for a couple first downs. He can hit Devontae Smith. He can hit A.J. Brown. They could light up the scoreboard because they're talented at the skill positions, and they could beat you that way also. The Dolphins, to your point, they're talented at skill positions, and they can beat teams by being more the more talented team at those skill positions, by running up the score. But they cannot play the other game and beat you. They'll never be the more physical team. They'll never win in the trenches, and that's what's going to lead them to a win in any game, let alone late in the season. They're not capable of it, period, end of story, as far as we know right now. As far as we know right now. And I don't think any of the moves they've made thus far change that. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't. No. I'm not seeing it.
But and it's funny, they're not isolated though. Those things go hand in hand. When you can run the ball, now you get the one-on-ones with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside. Like those are, it's not isolated. We're passing this series. Okay, this is our run series. It's not like that. They coexist, and good offensive coordinators know how to mold those together. But also, being able to whoop somebody's ass in the trenches is 25% of football. Third and ones and fourth and ones. Like, we joked, it was weeks ago, and it stayed on my mind. I think, Hawker, you want to ask, when was the last time we were confident in getting a first down? Somebody brought up Lusaka Damn Polite. We played together. Like, honestly, when's the last time you said, oh, third and one, that's a first down. Oh, fourth and inches, that's a first down. They're not built. And when you say they're not built like that, I'm not speaking of the individual humans. They did not build a team to be able to get 9 inches whenever they want to. The Eagles can do it. The Bills can do it. The Ravens can do it. We used to call teams. It was funny. We would talk about it during the week. When I played, there's things called skeletons, where it's like an extra pad under your shoulder pads that you can wear for extra protection on your collarbone and stuff, because you knew that game you were about to have to bash heads for 60 plays. Then there were teams where, man, you don't got to tape your ankles this game. Like, it's not going to be that physical of a game. When we played, the Ravens have always been that team. Like, even the Buffalo Bills. We played the Buffalo Bills like J.P. Lossman. Okay, yeah, guys, we're going to go out here, run around a little bit. We'll make a couple tackles on Fast Freddy. I forget his name. And, yeah, we'll win this game. Like, there is no other team, and I'm not attacking individual players. I'll make it clear again. There is not another team in the league that's about to play the Dolphins up to now. Hopefully they can change it this year, that says, hey, y'all, buckle your chin straps, tighten up your helmet, put on your spider pads, because this is about to be a physical game. The Dolphins aren't a physical team.
I think they're trying to be. I think they're trying to come off like they're prepared to make that change. I just don't think you can do that. You would know better than me. I don't think you can just do that. And to your point, no. Or to answer your question, I don't remember the last time that I felt confident the Dolphins were going to go get a first down. I'm not even kidding, because prior to the Mike McDaniel era, because in the Mike McDaniel era, we know this, statistically, they've been the worst team by far, by the way, at getting short yardage situation. By far, statistically, the worst team. But prior to that, the Brian Flores era, I mean, they were bringing out their backup quarterback to run QB sneaks because of how much they lacked faith in, one, Tua Tagovailoa putting his head down and getting you yardage, and now we know that's not even on the table anymore, or just handing it off to whoever was in the backfield, whether it was Kalen Ballage or not. Like, they just didn't have any faith in that happening. They also didn't have any faith in the Adam Gase era to go after Jay Ajayi left. That is right there the last time I remember the Dolphins feeling like, oh, they're going to get that short yardage situation. The problem in the Adam Gase era and the Jay Ajayi era was just being in a short yardage situation, because we were just running screenplays the entire time. And
it's not the play call. It's the roster.
I'm with you.
Consistent. You can run a hand sweep or a reverse on third and one and get 4 yards, or maybe break one.
But there's a reason.
But consistently, to get those first downs, you have to look and say, they're running right at me. This guard and tackle is about to whoop these two guys' ass. This fullback's going to bust me in my face, and that tailback's going to be behind. Jalen Wright, the guy they drafted third round from Tennessee, track guy. Etienne, track guy. They had a bunch of track guys. What's his name? Jeff Wilson? He was the big dude. He didn't even play. Raheem Mostert was the best thing they had because he had a little size to him. He was a speedster. They sold track meet. I'm not making this word up. They said we have a track meet on the field. But if you put Usain Bolt on first and goal, he's not getting in the end zone.
Crowder, there's a reason why Mike McDaniel's not just handing the ball off anymore to go up the middle. It's not working. It's just not. Like, if there was a chance it was going to work, guess what? He would do it. They don't do it because they know it's not going to work because their offensive linemen, despite the fact that we're the Eichen Bros by association, even though the leader of the Eichen Bros is not here today, so maybe we're not on the team Eichen Bros, because Liam Eichenberg, by the time the ball is handed off to the running back, it's 5 yards now behind the line of scrimmage, which is never going to be a successful way to pick up a first down when all you need is 1 yard and your right guard is 5 yards behind where you need to be. It's never going to be a successful way to get through.
It's Jimmy's and Joe's. You got to draft people that want to embarrass another grown man in front of his parents. We don't have a lot of guys that want to embarrass people in front of their parents.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. And you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, joining us right now here before 4th of July, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And Mike, I always wonder before we get into all this stuff, so what do you do for 4th? You lay low or do you stay home or do you hit the road a little bit? What are you doing?
Well, I always lay low whenever I can. We usually have all the family over here. There'll be 15 or 20 people out on the patio, and we'll make some steaks or some burgers, some hot dogs. I don't know. I don't determine the menu. I just stand there and cook it all. And then we may fire off a few rockets and whatnot. We try to be careful about that. We've had some close calls in the past where those tubes that you shoot the mortars out of, they wear out. And we were reminiscing about this the other day, although it was more PTSD. We had an incident where the tubes blew out and the fireworks went off all around us one night instead of shooting up in the air. Oh. So So we're very careful about that, very conscientious about it. Now that I'm one of the old guys, I don't have to mess with it anymore. I don't have to worry about blowing off a finger. In my business, losing a finger would be a very bad thing.
No, that would not be good. Hey, so I guess you know we've been kind of busy down here with some football stuff. And so you hear the trade, and as the trade went on, we found out more and more. It wasn't just Jalen Ramsey for Minkah Fitzpatrick. It was Jonnu Smith was in the deal. What'd you think overall of that deal?
Well, and I may have said this to you last week, Joe, and I don't use the word dysfunction lightly, but isn't it per se on its face dysfunctional that any team is making these kind of moves in late June? Isn't this stuff you should be doing in March? Shouldn't you be shaping your team in March and April? I mean, you need a tight end because you're going to trade Jonnu Smith. Why don't you draft one? What are you doing trading for a guy who didn't play at all last year and has a history of injury and missed time? This guy isn't going to solve anything. I mean, anything he does is going to be a bonus. And, hey, he may make it to the Pro Bowl for all I know. But it is a calculated risk, and it's something that you do not in late June. You do it in March, and at the latest, you do it in April at the draft. The whole situation is just weird. And I think I said to you on Friday, there's no other team going through these issues right now where they're trying to trade guys, keep players, this stage of the offseason. The hay is supposed to be in the barn, and you're getting ready for training camp, and the guys that are going to be on your team have been there for the offseason program, and they're part of it. You're bringing in new guys now. Minkah's coming in cold for training camp. Darren Waller's coming in cold for training camp. It's just not how a normal football operation should be functioning. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no. I saw your stuff on it, and like Jonnu Smith was not going to play for $4 million. I'm guessing they knew that. It's a Drew Rosenhaus client.
Do it earlier. Yeah. Trade him in March.
So the Minkah Fitzpatrick part of it, what'd you think about getting him back and now the leader of the secondary, because it's a real young group across the board?
Well, look, Minkah, if I recall the events correctly, and I can't believe it's been 6 years ago.
Yeah,
time really
fast.
Does fly.
Yeah.
But when they were in the tank for Joe Burrow mode early 2019, you know, the year that Stephen Ross joked about getting $100,000 for Brian Flores for each game that he lost. Early in the year, that tanking thing was working. They stunk. They were losing badly. And I vaguely recall Michael wasn't having any of it and demanded the trade that sent him to Pittsburgh. So circumstances are different now. He's back. And there was something weird with him and the Steelers last year. And it, you know, they do a great job of keeping that stuff under wraps. I won't be surprised if now that he's gone, we start hearing some more about whatever it was. But, you know, anytime there's a guy with the Steelers who you have this kind of this vague, like something's up and you don't really know what it is, that's Mike Tomlin keeping it all under wraps. And a lot of times, once that guy's gone, you start hearing a lot more. So I'll be curious if any reports come out regarding whatever drove the wedge between Minkah and the Steelers, because that just kind of came out of nowhere. But I think people that pay attention to the Steelers aren't surprised, because there was just something vague and awkward and obviously permanent that happened between Fitzpatrick and the Steelers.
So everybody knew when Jonnu Smith was leaving, they were going to be looking, and they said it, they were going to be looking for a veteran tight end. So we were kind of going through the last few days, not even thinking there was a chance that Darren Waller was coming out of retirement. And wanted to play down here with his background with Frank Smith and their connections back with Las Vegas with the Raiders. 33 years old in September, with everything he's been through on and off the field. What do you think?
I would count on nothing. Anything he does is extra. Anything he does is gravy, because this is a guy that hasn't played in a year. And we don't know how committed he really is to doing it. We don't know if this is something driven by money. Whatever it is, he fell out of love with football and walked away from it. Now, it's entirely possible after 1 year of not playing that he's rediscovered his passion and he's going to come back and he's going to be as good as he ever was. That's entirely possible. But, man, that is a hell of a risk. And I would have a pretty strong feeling that if the Dolphins were in, we need to find a tight end mode back in March or April, the guy replacing Jonnu Smith wouldn't have been Darren Waller.
Yes, 100%. Going back to your theme of getting it done earlier and having vision on what was going to happen, should have never been at the last second like this. 100% across the board, I agree with you. Hey, so the Steelers side of this thing. Went on Steelers radio last night, and they're kind of up and down and wanted to know about Jalen Ramsey. And we got a couple of tight ends, Jonnu Smith and all the – they're all in, though, right now. Would you agree? They got to get the T.J. Watt deal done, but they're all in, right, to win right now.
Well, they're doing everything they can to try to win a playoff game. They have never gone this long since the first time they won a playoff game. Now, they went 40 years without ever winning a postseason game, but with the Immaculate Reception game in late 1972, since then, they haven't had an eight-year gap between postseason wins, and that's where they are right now. And they're operating differently than they ever have. There's a level of desperation I've never seen before from this team, and I've been in and around Pittsburgh my entire life. The Ramsey thing, I think there's a connection to Aaron Rodgers. I had somebody tell me back when the Ramsey stuff first came up, watch the Steelers because he and Rodgers work out together and they're good friends. So I don't know if this falls into the same category as, you know, when Rodgers would round up Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, but I think that Rodgers connection may have been a factor. But they need to figure out what they're doing with T.J. Watt because T.J. Watt wants to get paid. And this thing doesn't work without T.J. Watt. Look at their record when T.J. Watt has been in Pittsburgh, their record when he's not able to play. They can't win without this guy. And if they would move on from him now, because my understanding is his camp is open for any possible outcome, even if he would be traded, this isn't a trade you do as training camp approaches. And then the rest of your players have to kind of digest on the fly that they're not going to have the heart and soul of the team. It's just odd that it's gotten to this point, but at some point the Steelers are going to have to dig deep and they're going to have to pay T.J. Watt. They're going to have a big problem. And everything they've done to make the team better, it's going to get eliminated by Watt if Watt's not there. And I think that gives Watt more leverage to get that $40 million a year or whatever it is he's looking for.
Yeah. I agree, man. You got a pass rusher that's that good. You want to get that deal done. All right, so I saw some of the list. I caught the head coaching hot list. Let's run through it. I saw Mike McDaniel at the top of the list. And is Chris Greer right there with him? In your opinion, is if it doesn't work, is it both guys?
Yeah, I mean, we just did coaches, but I'm a firm believer coach and GM need to be joined at the hip. If both stay, if both go, whatever. You don't do one and keep the other. When you get that sliding scale of accountability where there's a chance that the coach goes instead of the GM or the GM goes instead of the head coach, that sets the stage for all sorts of ugliness because what happens? The coach blames the GM blames the coach because each guy thinks there's a way to stay. If both guys realize we're either both out of here or we're both going to thrive, that's the best way to run a team. So I think if one goes, both should go, but you never know what Stephen Ross is going to do.
All right, so the other part of this, obviously, when you talk about Mike, you talk about Tua and how important it is he stays healthy to have a chance. You got to play 17 games to see what he can do. What's your take on Tua so far?
Well, franchise quarterbacks play every week. Franchise quarterbacks don't have a constant cloud hanging over them and this never-ending he's disqualified from being regarded as a franchise quarterback, and the contract he got, his agents should, you know, have a bust in Canton for getting him that contract. They paid him way too much. They committed to him for 3 full years, but I really do think this year this is it, because if it falls apart and they clean house, do you think a new coach is going to want Tua next year? I think first order of business is we got to move on from this guy. And yeah, his money for 2026 is fully guaranteed. We've seen other teams bite the bullet and move on. We're moving on. We're turning the page. So, you know, when Tua is healthy and he's running that offense, it's a thing of beauty, especially all the underneath stuff that keeps defenses on their heels. It's great. But you got to be able to play.
Yes.
And you can't be throwing your body around in preseason games after a turnover. I remember that happened with a Bears game way back in his first season. Like, you've got to find a way to set aside this idea that there's some sort of pride to be taken in being reckless with your body, because it's going to hurt your team and it's only going to hurt your career. And I feel like we're getting closer and closer to that point. But he does have financial security through 2026. I think he may only, as a practical matter, have job security through 2025.
By the way, this speaking of quarterback thing, man, everybody's raving about Arch Manning, and I'm sure at some point he's going to be really good. I know it's coming from his uncle mostly and how good he's been at the Manning camps. But talking about this draft class and Arch Manning, you talk about a guy that's got pressure on him. I think he's only started 2 games in 2 years with Texas because Quinn Ewers has been there, who's now with the Dolphins. What do you think about – he got a lot of pressure. I know he's got a good team around him. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, if he's that good, why didn't he beat out Quinn Ewers? Everybody says Quinn Ewers isn't that good. Well, why the hell didn't Arch Manning beat him out then? Right? Now, maybe Quinn Ewers is better than he got credit for, but if Arch Manning is Peyton and Eli and Arch all rolled into one, he would have been playing by now. And, you know, people think he's coming out in the draft next year. I would think that he's going to stay for 2 years and play for 2 years and get paid for 2 years and get himself ready to go and get himself in position to be, you know, the highest drafted player when he does come out. And then there's that other side of it. You know, Peyton thought about coming out in 97, and if he would have had a clear commitment from the Jets, he would have been the number one overall pick. He would have done it, but he didn't get the clear commitment, so he didn't. So there's a strategy that they're never going to wear on their sleeves unless they're trying to get away from a team like the Chargers. But there's no reason to think that Arch Manning won't be able to play in the NFL. The question is, how good is he going to be? And if he's not playing yet in Texas, if it took him this long to get to number one, is it – and hey, I hope – great quarterbacks are great for our business. We want great quarterbacks in the NFL. But again, he didn't beat out Quinn Ewers. And for the folks out there that are like, Quinn Ewers wasn't very good, again, well, then Arch Manning must not be very good because he didn't beat him out.
Mike, you know what's amazing? Since I've known you, we've talked about more than any other topic in general, not just Miami Dolphin quarterbacks, but quarterbacks in general, and how many teams have whiffed in the first round. It's incredible with all the money and research and system and getting your coaches involved, what kind of guy you need, and trying to get weapons around. Some teams don't do enough, that we have so many guys every year that are bust or never play. I forget number one first year. Some of them take a little bit longer. Still don't play well. It's incredible. What do you think the biggest problem for the amount of money? And look, I can say something, and I'm wrong all the time. Mike, you can say you love somebody you saw, you know, when you go to a college game and he's going to be a big time and you're wrong. It doesn't matter because you're not a general manager of a football team or running a football team. But those guys, they're paid to know all this stuff, and yet it's still so hard to find a guy that can be a franchise quarterback.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. And anybody that goes from one level of football to the next, the first thing you realize is how much faster it is at the next level. And there's a chance that you're going to hit a level where it's just too fast. They move too quickly. They hit too hard. The windows are too small. I just physically can't do it. I could do it really well at the last level. We get up to this level, and I just can't do it. And the problem is you don't know if a guy can do it until he gets up to that level. And then I really do think that a lot of the busts aren't the fault of the player. They're the fault of the organization around him. They don't know how to develop him. They don't know how to coach him. They don't have help around him. They don't make good decisions. There isn't a good vibe in the building. And that's why I'm a big supporter of guys pushing back against the draft, of guys not wanting to go to certain teams. Like when Eli didn't want to go to the Chargers, he visited the Chargers. You know, we have this vague recollection it was Arch Manning's decision. Arch was just providing the cover for Eli. Eli went to visit the Chargers, and he got the sense that they weren't on the same page as to whether or not they wanted him. So if I'm going to walk into a building where and it was either the coach wanted him and the GM didn't, or the GM wanted him and the coach didn't, but whatever it was, he's like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
If I don't have a sense of unanimity that they want me. You get organizations like that, you get coaches and GMs and talent like that, you can ruin a guy before he ever gets a chance. And you guys got one down there now who may end up playing a lot of quarterback this year in Zach Wilson. And you look at Geno Smith and you look at Sam Darnold, both guys who were drafted by the Jets and failed with the Jets. Is it them or is it the Jets? Is it Zach Wilson or is it the Jets? And Zach Wilson wasn't a reach. People are like, oh, the Jets were crazy to take him at number two. No, he was the consensus number two pick in 2021. It was Trevor Lawrence and it was Zach Wilson. And some people thought it should have been Zach Wilson and then Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, you guys may have somebody down there that, that just,
no, you're
just
right.
is the next failed Jets quarterback who becomes a pretty good quarterback somewhere else.
My good way to finish it, man. A little quarterback talk. I feel like you and I have been drinking beers for the last 20 years talking about quarterbacks, man. Have a great 4th of July,
so
Mike.
The day when we did this, I would be drinking a beer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Changed a lot over the years, Mike. You've made this thing into a monster. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
See you, pal.
All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
We got action, Jack. Hour two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let us get to our headlines, which are plenty. Brought to you by Doral Volkswagen at Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Okay, just to catch everybody up, this happened during last segment. Jalen Ramsey traded to the Steelers for Minka Fitzpatrick. Minka Fitzpatrick is back with the Miami Dolphins. Now Adam Schefter's weird trade tweet makes sense because he said it ended it with and another trade. But then where was the next trade? We got it. Jonnu Smith has also been traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for a late round draft pick.
And he gets triple the amount he made.
And he's getting a bump in pay. He's going to make $12 million.
I'm happy for him, but we just gave him up. We're just like, here, take this too.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. That's what happened.
Love giving away one of our weapons with no replacement.
Well, I mean, we got Julian Hill.
Oh, you're right. How can I?
We got Pharaoh Brown.
Oh, yes. Oh.
We got Tanner Connor. Intangibles.
Here's what it boils down to. They didn't want to give him $12 million.
Nope.
Fine. That's it. Cool. But, like, what was he going to do? Sit out all season?
Yeah.
You can do that?
Sit out the first 10 games.
There's no fee or no penalty or nothing like that?
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if this is all about money after a certain while, you know, you kind of got to play that game, unfortunately, chicken, where you're just kind of like, who's going to flinch first? And we're just like, nah, you can go. I don't like it. I do like the one for one because Minka, still pretty young, pretty talented. We needed a safety. We were going to lose Jalen anyway. The Jonnu thing is like...
I'm a little worried about the Jonnu.
What are we doing? What are we doing here?
Yeah, but like, again, this is my whole thing with the Jonnu. And he was great last year. Don't get me wrong. He was great. It's not like the Dolphins don't have two of the best receivers in the league. Like, and they both had down years last year.
True.
And with Tua Tagovailoa, obviously it's always a caveat of him being healthy. But, like, you got to get those guys back on track and getting the football more. Like, I understand the Dolphins paying those guys as much as they did and also being like, you know what? We also can't pay our tight end this for him having a career year and... You know, we're just we think we'll be okay there. I can honestly understand the logic of that. So yeah, it sucks. He was awesome. Pause up. Like, I love Jonnu Smith. What a great year it was. What a cool story it was. But the Dolphins did fix a monster. Like, they have a big problem, obviously, like, still not knowing who can take over a corner. But I also was not sure about those safeties. And having Minka Fitzpatrick on this, like, it's not.
They can move.
It's not.
They can move Minka around.
Yeah, it's not a foolproof fix, but it's. I do think they came out of it okay.
So me and you are going to differ on this.
Okay.
Because I think Jonnu Smith was comfort food for Tua, and what teams were doing is they were dropping so far deep and daring you to try to go over their heads, you couldn't get there. Because the whole deal is if you drop enough men deep enough, then our rush will get to you before you can wait for them to get past it. So that's what everybody talk about cover four. But cover four is basically four deep, four across. You know, the back end of the defense. So what Jonnu Smith did was kind of at times during the season get these guys to step up a little bit. And that created space behind them. Because if one of those guys got to come up cover the tight end, there's a gap back there. Without that, you have basically told teams it's okay to play that cover four.
But didn't they?
It's okay to play that deep too. And you're making it sound like, oh, no bigs. You got the two receivers. It all works hand in hand.
No,
and I think people forget that.
I get it, but it's still it is a salary cap sport, and both of those guys had down years last year. And you do need, like, there's good, like, ideally for the Dolphins, let's just say Jonnu Smith came back this year, the Dolphins were gonna try and feed the ball more to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle anyway.
Like, okay, in a perfect world, yes, you want to get the guys the ball to the guys that, you're paying all that money to. Okay. But in the realistic world, by getting rid of Jonnu Smith, you think that made it easier or more difficult to do what we're talking about?
I don't know, because, like, I'm assuming.
I'm telling you, it made it more difficult because now you don't have to worry.
But how can you? So, but just my counter on
I'm
that.
Like, tell you how, just okay, based on defense.
I understand, but how can we say that when they had him last year and they both had their worst seasons as Dolphins?
Right, for whatever reason, it could be defensively, it could be they just had off years. I'm not disputing that, right? Like, it sometimes when guys have off years, we want answers as to why it happened. Okay, you need a definitive answer. I can't give you one. But what I would say is this. If you take away what was good last year, you're making it more difficult for defenses to come out of that defense that kind of gave you problems because you have nobody underneath.
Yeah, I get it. But they're not going to pay him. It's one of those things like, They already made the choice of,
yeah,
we took this guy, we got him at a bargain last year, and he basically, like, in a lot of ways, like, Jonnu Smith is a nice player, but he's never been an elite tight end. And I love the guy. He's never been an elite tight end. You basically did Raheem Mostert with him at the tight end position, where he comes here, he breaks every tight end record the Dolphins have had, but before that was pretty much a journeyman. And I just think in the Dolphins' mind, maybe they think, hey, we can have one of our young guys step up and do things like that. Okay, but that's what they're in any sport, Leroy. We would have thought that last year. It's like, oh, he's not going to come here and break the records. Nobody thought that. Like, we thought he was a nice piece.
No. What we did know though is this: you're just looking at the catches. Look at the other things he did and how they got him the ball. With quick passes, with tosses, with stuff like that. He's a very versatile player. And what I say with that is, when you add those things to the weapons you have, it makes you strong. It makes Tyreek more of a weapon. It makes Waddle more of a weapon. So while you're sitting here saying, oh, we can just have one of our young guys do it. No, you can't.
But they weren't more of a weapon last year. Like, it's a nice thing to say. It's a nice thing to say.
How to explain this to you?
I
can't.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at it from the defensive perspective and how they defended Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, which created the space for Jonnu to be able to do all those things. Who's very athletic, way more athletic than any of the other guys in that room.
But their better numbers, they had better numbers with Durham Smythe as their tight end.
But again,
it's like, I don't know. So what are they opening up?
You're not leaving room for the teams adjusting to how they played Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. Okay, let me show you how defense works. Okay? If you have speed guys on the outside. All right? Now, the first year when Tyreek almost had 2,000, right?
That was the second year.
Second year, when he almost had through 2,000 yards. Basically, they tried to play cover two, right? But what would happen is you'd run Waddle up the middle. The two safeties would pay attention to Waddle, run those deep crossing routes, which was amazing, right? And then Tyreek would beat the hell out of that corner and deuces, we out. Okay? You could switch it up. You could go Waddle down the sideline, Tyreek cross, catch the ball through the middle, space, 88 out the gate, right? Then they started playing cover four, which is instead of putting those corners close to the line of scrimmage, right, they drop them way back and dare you to throw it underneath, and then they come and make tackles, right? So they're not allowing you to get the ball over their heads. Now, where that becomes even more effective, playing all those guys deep, is when you have an offensive line who's not protecting the quarterback. So now everything gets sped up. You don't have time to get deep. And so everything ended up being shorter because now the coach is like, we're not protecting Tua. They're playing way deep. We got to come up with shorter passes to be effective. Okay? So that's how that played out without Janu. Now you bring in Janu. Granted, Waddle and Tyreek didn't have the best of years. But when a defense says, we're going to defend Waddle, we're going to defend Tyreek, we're going to pick up on all their routes, we're going to drop way back, we're going to do all these things, that left a whole football field of Jonnu Smith against a linebacker. So what ends up happening in a game, you take advantage of who has, you know, same thing in basketball. Who has the mismatch? Let's take advantage of that.
Yeah, but you don't think that's going to, like, I guess in this case.
Nobody has the athletic ability as Jonnu to be able to get open like that.
Okay.
That's my point.
That's fine, but they're going to get back. Like, Leroy, there's no way they're not going to go into this season and go with, first of all, like, we could say the Dolphins relented a little bit on letting defenses take their bread and butter away from them too much last year. Like, they've admitted as much. The quarterback has admitted as much, so they're gonna tilt back to trying and take more shots this year.
But here's what,
and it's still Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, dude. Like,
but Tobin, you have to understand, part of those adjustments had nothing to do with Tyreek and Waddle, but more to do with the time you had to throw the football.
Yeah, well,
they had no time to run those deep routes.
Hopefully, and obviously, you hope that the line is better this year.
Okay, but that's a whole. So if it's not, then those things are moot points.
If it's not, I understand. Yeah, it's gonna be.
Who's gonna be that mid? Who's gonna be that guy to catch the ball in the middle of the field? You think you're just gonna take Jonnu Smith out, put Durham Smythe there?
Durham Smythe's not here anymore.
Or whoever.
What?
Pick a guy.
That's crazy.
Pick a guy out of that room.
Julian Hill's going to catch one of these days, dude. Oh, he's going to catch one of these days.
Stone hands.
Everyone was raving about Tanner Connor at minicamp.
Can I just tell you?
What?
This conversation has been absolutely exhausting for me because you just chalk it up to, Tyreek and Waddle, they're going to have better years.
Okay, but we would have thought this. Hold on. We would have thought this with losing Christian Wilkins last year, and Zach Sealer stepped up at a cheaper rate and was just as good as Christian Wilkins
because
was.
Because they also got a friend.
They did, but now they're
okay. So they had somebody who could fill that.
But he was just as good. Like that is the game. Like, you're trying to find some of these guys at the value, and paying Jonnu Smith at 30 years old $12 million when you're already paying two receivers, like top five receivers, like, you're gonna have to make some decisions along your roster. It just is the game, Leroy. And
I understand all of that. The argument that I'm having with you is this. You're making a lot of assumptions without really understanding why they ended up where they were and why Jonnu Smith ended up with 80 catches, right? It's a lot more than just saying Tyreek and Waddle had bad years. Like, a lot of that stuff from year to year, the defenses that you play become more acclimated to what you do. And if you don't have the same amount of time or the same running game, okay, guess what? They could play that four deep because you couldn't run the ball worth of crap.
Yes, well, what does that have to do with Johnny? Johnny's not a blocking tight end.
But again, all of these reasons play into why you needed somebody like Johnny Smith. And I'm okay with it. I understand decisions have to be made. It's football. I get that. It's a salary cap sport. Okay? But what I'm saying is this. Without that guy in the middle of the field being able to beat linebackers, you know what linebackers do when there's nobody to guard like Johnny Smith? They get extra deep on pass routes, thus cutting into the space that you have to throw the ball in a secondary. So it all works hand in hand. While, yes, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think if you brought him back, he'd have 80 catches again. I understand.
So then
that.
Why would you pay him $12 million?
Because, all right, never mind. I'm good.
No, but why? Like,
I'm good. I'm good. Like, this is like a...
It seems like you boxed yourself in.
No, I'm really? And that's what you go with? Because you have no... All right. Dude, you have no freaking idea. None of what is going on the football field. None. Yet you're going to sit here and
you
say,
you just told me he's not going to have any catches this year.
Watch a game every now and then and see what's going on. I'm done.
You're lashing out for no reason. Like, I mean,
I'm not lashing out.
You are.
I'm lashing out.
You don't get to pay.
I'm
hey, Leroy,
out.
But.
You know why I'm lashing out?
Yeah, because you don't get to pay everybody in football. That's not how it works. It's a salary cap sport. You got to make some decisions. That's how it works, building a roster.
Okay.
You got to. I'm sorry. I'd love to pay Johnny Smith as much money as he wants. If you could, you can't.
Okay. All I'm saying is this. The importance of what a player like him was to this team last year is not like you got it on the roster.
Then you should bitch about – then you should complain about Chris Greer paying Jaylen Waddle like a top five receiver. That's the mistake then. So you have money to pay Jonnu Smith.
Again, they paid before Jonnu got it.
That's the point though. That's why they're in the predicament. Okay. I'm not nobody on this show is disrespecting the importance of Jonnu Smith. You got to make decisions building a team. If you're going to pay, hey, guess what? You got to pay Zach Sealer a monster contract too. You want to know why? Because you got nobody else to play that position. Okay. Should you let him walk? What's more important, the Dolphins letting Sealer walk or Jonnu Smith? It's a pretty obvious question. So I'm not sitting here debating your football knowledge, saying you're wrong and saying Jonnu Smith was open, but I understand the Dolphins got to make some business decisions because they've made some horrible, piss-poor ones.
Okay.
That's it.
I just think that, and let me put it this way. It would be easier in today's football to replace Jaylen Waddle than to replace Jonnu Smith.
That's a sound point that I'm not disagreeing with.
That's the point.
But I don't, hey, Leroy, I don't disagree with you there. Like but they're not getting rid of Jaylen Waddle. You want to know why?
Because
they got, who knows how long Tyreek's going to be here, because you never know when he's going to go Tyreek. And then they're left with, I don't know, who is left on the wide receiver room?
Westbrook. We got Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. We got Westbrook Akine.
Yeah.
Whew. Anyway, we'll take a break.
I'm just saying, this is like, I get why people think that it's not that big of a deal to lose Jonnu Smith. And I'm telling you, it's a little bigger of a deal than you're just shrugging it off to be.
I think you're mad because now Aaron Rodgers is going to throw a lot of touchdowns to him.
I mean, would that not make my point?
No, it would make your point, but now you hate right. Aaron Rodgers, and now Aaron Rodgers is Jonnu Smith.
Right, all right. Like, there's not a bunch of – listen, regardless of what Jonnu Smith has done before he got to Miami, there's not a lot of guys that play that position with that amount of athleticism at that position. There's not. So to go from that to Julian Hill
and Tanner Connor, tangibles.
Let's go to break before I cuss.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.